Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Hoorah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking with retired DEA Special Agent Van Wynn about drugs and crime in America. Then the Colonel will discuss the movie of the month with Diane Raver. And of course, we'll finish up with military history and the self-defense report. And now it is a pleasure to introduce Van Wynn. Van served in law enforcement for 35 years, 26 of those years as a special agent with the Drug Enforcement Agency. Van, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Hey, thanks for having me, Skip. It's an honor to be here, man. It really is.
Now, Van, you are down in the great sunny state of Georgia, are you not?
Yes, I'm in beautiful Savannah, Georgia, where currently it's about 63 degrees and sunny.
Oh, you should not rub it in. We're up here in Michigan, but hey, you know. All right, now, Van, why don't you start out by telling us about your career in law enforcement?
Well, it's a long one, but I'll just abbreviate it. Started in 1986. I was a local police officer up in Tennessee. Got to work, got patrol, became a detective, got to work some homicide stuff, went into special operations, SWAT team, all that cool stuff. Recruited by DEA in 1995, worked in a lot of different places. My very first assignment was in McAllen, Texas. Ended up promoting to a supervisory special agent about the last 8 or 9 years of my career and came here to Savannah, Georgia, my last assignment. And retired here. Since retiring, I started a firearms training company at Reticent Warrior Tactics and do firearms tactics and self-defense stuff.
Well, you know, you could die today and still have a full life, but don't do that, okay?
Yeah, well, no, I do try to live my life, you know, to the fullest. And maybe some of the injuries I have wouldn't be here if I'd lived a little more cautiously. But hey, you know, life's made for living.
Well, law enforcement, hey, you're living on the edge as it is, so. Van, but you've done a lot of stuff, you've seen a lot of things, and you have a lot of experiences. But today, I guess I'm disturbed by the drug problems that we have in America. There just seems to be a proliferation of illegal drugs all across the country, and it affects crime, and we got problems on the southern border. What do you see as some of our major problems, the major challenges for America when it comes to drugs and crime?
Well, first of all, you can't address drugs without addressing America's appetite for them. That's number one. And there's a lot of good information out there. I like to think that most adults don't participate in the drug scene. But, you know, it's the casual user that does a little of this, a little of that. They're just as part of the problem because they're the demand. You know, if there wasn't a demand, drugs wouldn't be coming here. So that's number one. But yeah, drugs, the way our southern border is especially, it's wide open. I think it's a national security threat of all the drugs, the terrorism, everything else that's coming across our borders. It's very bad. There's no way around it. And until that is secure, it's just like your home. Would you live in your home and leave your doors open all the time, let anybody walk in your house? No one would do that. So why are we doing that with our country?
Well, you know, Van, I don't see other countries doing the same thing. I haven't done a lot of international travel, but do other countries open up their borders like this?
I don't know any other country that does what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't think I'd try and cross into China or Russia without proper paperwork.
You wouldn't get very far if you did.
No, you might get shot.
You would get shot, honestly.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with retired DEA Special Agent Van Wynn. All right, so Van, you know, you're talking about the southern border. It's a problem down there, but I haven't been around the world a lot, so I don't know how other nations operate. Our southern border, have you physically been there? Have you seen the problems for yourself?
Yes, I have been to the southern border, and I haven't been there in quite a while, but I have been there, lived in McAllen, Texas. Literally, our DEA office was probably a mile from the southern border. Worked a lot of cases on the border, watched a lot of illegal aliens and dope come across the border and made a lot of cases down there doing that. So, yeah, it was a problem then. It's a worse problem now.
Yeah. So even before President Biden, it was still a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I first was stationed in McAllen, Texas, back in the mid-90s. So it's always been an issue of people coming across our border illegally. The difference is, you know, it wasn't a big open invitation around the world knowing that anyone could come. Mostly what was coming across then were people trying to better their lives, trying to come into America. Obviously, I understand that. You still have to do it the legal way, but at least I understand that. And then, obviously, from our point of view, it's the people bringing in drugs and dropping them off and then turning around going back into Mexico.
When I look at the southern border, people trying to move to America, I understand that maybe a lot of them are at their base good people, but I know a lot of them probably aren't. And I just wonder, who are we letting into our country? We could have thousands of terrorists in our country right now, and we're not going to know about it until they launch surprise attacks on our infrastructure or whatever else they want to do.
You're exactly right. And the question is, what you said is, who are we letting in our country? The answer is, we don't know. And that's the real problem. It's one thing for, as we're talking about, people want to come here to improve their lives. It's quite a different just to open it up and let anyone come. And we're getting people off terrorist watch lists. And these are just the ones that are getting caught. Out of all the encounters that the Border Patrol goes to, a lot of times they don't even see any of these people. So it's not what we see, it's what we don't see. That's the unknown quantity that we really need to be worried about.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing to me is we're relying on politicians to solve this problem for us. And it's like these people they can't agree on what time to get up in the morning, much less terrorism and watch lists and drugs pouring into our country. So I am not optimistic about our southern border and drugs in America. Just give me your gut feel. This is a personal question. What is your gut feel about what's happening down there? Are you optimistic that it is going to be fixed or not?
No, I'm not optimistic because what happened the first day President Biden took office is he undid by executive order all the things that were previously done by President Trump. And now the border is wide open. And unless he goes back and redoes what he undid, that problem is going to remain. And as you said, politics, blame shifting, credit taking, everybody wants to blame the other side for the problems. Even President Biden saying he needs more laws. Laws are not the problem here. All we have to do is enforce the laws that we have. And we could shut down that border and at least make it where people had to come in the right way. But as far as what's going on now, there's no telling how many terrorists are already in this country, how many drugs, fentanyl, cocaine, methamphetamine, whatever you want to think. There's no telling what we've already allowed into this country.
So, are you a proponent of building the wall that President Trump wanted to do?
I am. I'm a proponent of secure borders for our country and controlling access. I bet you can't go to an event that the president's at, regardless who the president is, that there's not controlled access, right? And why do we do that? For security reasons. We don't just let anybody in to go see the president. We have to control things and we have to have an egress and we have to have all these things set up in the same way with our country. We have to control our borders and we have to control who gets in. We want people to come to this country that want to be productive citizens and make this assimilate into our society and make this a better place. But there's a lot of people, unfortunately, coming now that are here to benefit from all the free stuff we're giving away.
Yeah, that seems to be the only thing that the federal government excels at right now is spending, taxing and spending. They're really good at that. Boy, I am not optimistic as well, Van. I'm really not. I'm normally a glass full kind of guy, but when it
Yes.
comes to the southern border, it's, you can't be glass full without having, your head stuck in the sand. You have to pretty much deny what's going on in order to be optimistic about it.
It's a political bomb, and it's gotten so far out of hand now that I don't know what they're going to do. Either the next election is going to fix it, or things are just going to get way, way worse.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, because I'm like you, I'm not optimistic at all that the current administration really even cares. I think they're
All
looking
right.
at people getting in and becoming
Yeah.
Democratic voters.
We've got more to discuss about drug crimes in our southern border and the northern border and all of this stuff. And Van is going to stay with us through the next segment. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time, do 40, and do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I will be right back.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned.
We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand healthcare access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Van Nguyen, a retired special agent for the Drug Enforcement Agency, about America's drug abuse and crime problems. Now, Van, I want to get back to this whole securing the border thing. I have a couple of questions. First, what do you think of the prospect of using the military on the border? Because I know that's what Governor Abbott is doing down there in Texas. And I believe even your own governor there in Georgia, you know, is sending National Guard troops to Texas. What do you think about that?
I think at the point we're at, I think it's needed, unfortunately. I think if you go most any other country, you're going to find their military is protecting their borders. And while our military does protect us, they're not really being used to protect our border, at least as they should be with the influx of people that we're having right now. So I think what they're doing is a good thing. I think it's a necessary thing.
I agree with you 100%. I think our military is needed on the border. I don't know what the legal ramifications of that are as far as posse comitatus or as far as using the military inside the borders of the United States, but I don't know that you get to a point where it's either do it or lose your country.
One of the things of posse comitatus is, you know, we're not using the military on its own citizens. That's not what we're doing here. You know, these are people coming from many other foreign countries into our country. There's certain things they can't do. In my career, I've worked with the military many times, and it's always been a great experience. And I've actually been with National Guard troops on the border before. So that's not a new thing. It's something
that's good. So that's not an issue.
No, it can certainly be done. It's been done before. It was done back in the 90s when I was on the border. It may have not been done to the extent that we need it now, but it's certainly something that under today's climate, I think we need.
Well, then by all means, let's send a whole bunch of National Guard troops down there, secure that. But it'd be cheaper to just build the wall.
You know, it's like anything else. If we do A, they're going to do B. When we do B, they do C. Yeah. Drug trafficking crime or human smuggling, they're going to figure out a way. But if you have a good defense, you know, that's the start. I mean, the start of anything is having a good perimeter and having a good defense system to start with. Right now, we don't have anything. We have gaping holes where we don't have enough manpower to cover the gaps. That's a real issue for drugs, terrorism, or just plain old illegal entry.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with retired DEA Special Agent Van Nguyen. Van, Sun Tzu, The Art of War.
Yes.
He says, know your enemy. I don't have any experience with drug cartels, but I suspect that you do. What's the mindset of the enemy?
Make money at all costs. Their number one goal is money. It's power. And they don't care who they hurt to do it. And if you're in their way and you're a citizen of Mexico or Colombia or wherever, not an issue for them to kill you. They're just bad people. They're dangerous people. They're extremely dangerous. And we're not controlling our southern border. Then the same guys that are doing drug trafficking, whether it's cocaine or marijuana, they're all doing the same stuff. Used to be marijuana organizations or cocaine organizations. Now the cartels are poly drug traffickers, drug trafficking anything. If they could make millions selling bubble gum, that's what they'd be doing. Fortunately for us, they're doing it with fentanyl and other very, very dangerous drugs.
the drug cartels. They're not necessarily just drug cartels. They also deal with human trafficking, maybe even children coming across the border in bondage.
Drug cartels have evolved, and they're going to continue to evolve just like everything else. And so they're going to go where the money's at. There's a lot of money in human trafficking because, hey, guess what? That's a product you can use over and over again, unfortunately.
The other day, I watched this movie called Sound of Freedom, and it really affected me. It was about international child trafficking, and they dealt with children. We're thinking like 4, 5, 6-year-old kids coming across our southern border and being sold into basically prostitution. And one of the things that they said just really affected me. They said, you can only sell a bag of cocaine one time, but you can sell a 5-year-old boy 6 times in one day, every day. That is incredibly heartbreaking. People need to grasp on to the realization that when you take drugs for fun, you're not just getting high, you're not just enjoying yourself, but you set off a whole chain of events. What other things are happening when you buy illegal drugs?
What you said is exactly right. You are funding everything from further drug trafficking. You could be funding terrorism. You're certainly funding human trafficking and maybe human sex trafficking. And like you said, the fact that they can resell a young child over and over and over in just one day is heartbreaking. I saw that movie as well, and it's a very important movie. It discusses a very important topic. If you're a casual user of drugs, you're even contributing to the death of law enforcement, because there's a lot of police officers that died investigating drug traffickers, whether it's on the border, whether it's federal agents, whether it's local police. So if you're doing drugs, you're supporting all this stuff, whether you agree with it or not, that's what you're doing.
Okay, having said that, Van, are the drug cartels, are they even going to be deterred by the heavy presence of law enforcement and National Guard troops on the border then?
Well, yeah, they're certainly going to be deterred because they're going to have to figure out another way to do things. But it's losing a load, for example, for a drug cartel, that's kind of figured into the price. Just like Walmart figures into the price, hey, if we put out this many DVDs or whatever it is, this many are going to get stolen. You know, this many are going to get hijacked off the truck, but hey, all the rest of these we're going to sell. And that's all figured into the cost. So you and I have to pay more for our DVD because they have to figure in all the people that are going to steal stuff on the way. So drug cartels figuring the same way, and the end user is paying the ultimate price or a higher price for that. And then they're funding all of this for that organization.
Well, and I suppose this is a special kind of a product. You can choose to not buy a DVD if the price goes up, but if you're addicted to heroin, you're going to pay any price to get that because you don't really have a choice. You don't own yourself anymore.
Once you're addicted to something like heroin, now you're in a position where you have to have an opioid. You just can't quit opioids cold turkey. Heroin's one of the few things that stopping cold turkey might actually kill you. And if it doesn't, you're probably going to wish you were dead about halfway through your detox. It's a big issue. The other big issue, while we're talking about opioids, is fentanyl. You know, they're trafficking fentanyl across the border, whether it's coming, you know, through Mexico or it's coming from China. You know, when they start making pills with fentanyl in them that look like oxycodone or some other opioid and people don't know the difference, that's why we're getting so many fentanyl overdoses in this country, because people think they're getting an oxycodone or a hydrocodone pill or whatever it is, and it's not. It's got fentanyl. And when they make it and they don't mix it right, there's a little too much fentanyl in it. Next thing you know, you take one pill and you're dead.
Final question that I have for you, Van, is everyone talks about the southern border, but do drugs come in through the northern border and through the, you know, off the east and the west coast, maybe the Gulf Coast?
Absolutely, they do. And like I said, when we put a wall across our entire southern border, you can bet that the drug traffickers, the human traffickers, the terrorists, all of those guys are going to change their game plan and they're going to go where there's less resistance. So the northern border is probably going to be next. There's already things coming. You know, we have planes and subs and all kinds of stuff that try to bring drugs into this country, and they do it on every coast, on every border. Depending on what we do, they're going to change their game plan to evolve and try to overcome that. I dare say 20 years from now, there's probably going to be doing things that we can't even think of right now as how they're going to be getting stuff in here.
It sounds to me like you nailed it early in our interview when you said this is an American problem. This is a problem that's almost self-inflicted because of the appetite for drugs in our country. And we can plug one hole in the border and another one's going to open up as long as there is that insatiable appetite for drugs by American consumers.
You're exactly right. And how do you stop that? That's got to start in the home. You got to have two parent homes. You got to have a strong father figure. In my opinion, you know, you raise your family in a Christian home. That's hugely important. It changes your perspective when you have the right ethics and morals growing up. Now, that doesn't mean people aren't going to go out and do stuff stupid when they're young, because I know I certainly did. But eventually that moral compass does come back to you, and hopefully it kind of guides you. If we can stop the appetite, then guess what? We solved the whole drug problem.
Van, we could probably talk about this all day long, but we are out of time here. But I want to thank you very much, Van. Before you go, tell the listeners how they can find out more about you and the training that you offer.
My training company is called Reticent Warrior Tactics. You can find us at reticentwarriortactics.com. We have all kinds of rifle, pistol courses, tactical courses. We teach Krav Maga, personal defense. It's kind of the gamut of the things you would need to protect yourself and your family.
All right. Well, Van, thank you very much for being on Frontlines of Freedom today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Skip. It was an honor.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, the Colonel will discuss the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you are giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your financial future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Take it easy and just do a dozen right now, and then another dozen before you go to bed. I will be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
HealthVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HealthVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HealthVet.net. Visit HealthVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And of course, it's time for the movie of the month. So of course, we're joined by our great team member, Diane Raver of the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. Thank you for being here.
Oh, Denny, it's always an honor and a pleasure, as you know. And to present these films to your audience is just such a joy. I hope everyone enjoyed this month's film.
Anybody who didn't enjoy this one is, well, of course, we're all a little peculiar, aren't we? Okay, the movie of the month is Alternative Math. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I don't watch many movies twice, but I did this one.
Yeah.
And was there anything special about it that got your attention?
I think what drew me to it was, you know, one, there's a social comment on the media, social comment on being politically correct, social comment on all those things that are going on around us that to us mere mortals just seems interesting. And how this one played out was just beautiful, I thought.
Oh, whoever did this one, they get a salute from me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a few comments. One, it's all about absolutes. There can't be absolutes. There have to be options for everything. This is stupid. Interesting comments.
Yes.
On the other hand, there aren't options. If you decide you're going to hit me in the face, there's only one response you're going to get. It's me hitting you back. So yeah. I guess there are some times where there don't have to be options. Anyway, the boy was upset because he failed a test. Then she held up two pencils and then two more And he said there were 22 pencils there. That's stupid. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4. On the other hand, she was trying to be nice, and he was apparently haughty as heck.
Well, there's a social commentary on the new way of parenting. You know, we being raised in the 50s, it was, you know, your parents' way, the teacher's way, and the highway, you know. But, you know, this new helicopter way of parenting children is really not to their best interest, in my opinion. But
no, you're liable to end up with kids you aren't proud of.
Exactly.
Fortunately, you and I followed the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
Okay. The parents came in and didn't know that 2 + 2 = 4. That's just one option.
Yeah, well.
Listen to the rest of this. If a doctor said he was going to operate on your eyes, but he wasn't going to use the old-fashioned way to do it, he had his own idea of doing it another way, what would you say?
Yeah, that's a good comment.
Yeah, I sort of like that, which I guess they were hope they were just standing up for their kid and didn't honestly think that there were options.
But believe it or not, I see this in my own community where, you know, they change all the rules to benefit their own child rather than realizing that, you know, society doesn't work that way. So the kid's in for a huge shock later in life, you know?
There's an understatement. Okay. Mother called the teacher a name. Then she says, I'll have your job. The reply was, not if you can't add 2 + 2. I thought that was a clue.
Yeah.
And then mother slapped her. I wonder if someone thought about calling the cops for that.
Well, there is that.
But I'm not sure for a slap in the face that, on the other hand, it is an assault. But goodness gracious. Okay, modern parenting or whatever. Principal tells her it's not her job to tell students if they're right or wrong. So what is her job?
Well, again, this speaks to the you know, and talk about our education system. I mean, certainly, you know, the new math, the old math, the phonics, the reading, the, you know, not teaching cursive handwriting. I mean, somewhere along the line, logic has to prevail. You know, it's an interesting world we live in.
Yeah, I am sort of glad I'm not running a business right now where I have to be hiring people that were educated that way.
Right.
Okay, so the school board opposes her, and the superintendent says she's suspended while she reconsiders her extremist views. Okay. If I hold up two pencils and then two more pencils, it's extremist to say that there are four pencils there. Anyway.
This was a good social commentary. I really did. I mean, it's presented in a funny way, but you know, look around. There's, you know, this is real food for thought, which was the mission of this
yes.
Film club anyway. So,
well, and it clearly did. Anybody who sees it who was tending to go that way might rethink it.
Right.
Then she's fired before the media, and he gives her two paychecks for 2 months, each $2,000. So she gets $4,000, but she says no. She's to get $2,000 and $2,000. That's $22,000.
Yep.
Oops.
Yep.
And it all ends.
Yep.
And yep. I wonder if she got $22,000.
Well, fortunately, this is a fiction film, so you know.
Well, now here's I got a few comments like this. We have too many school teachers today who teach nonsense like critical race theory and allowing kids to make sex changes without talking to their parents. In some ways, this is a very, very accurate report. That's a sort of a summary of some comments we got.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, again, I think this, I would venture to say that this started a lot of conversations, this little film, you know?
Yeah. It either produced a lot of laughter for folks that are a tad more mature, like we are. That's what we're calling ourselves, right? Mature, not old.
Yeah.
and hopefully some conversation for those a tad younger than us, particularly if they had any inclination or knew people that were going through this kind of thing. This is a funny and a real challenge. Well, our whole idea was to not tell people what to think, but to give them ideas and something to think about.
Right. Start a conversation.
This one sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did.
Well, I'm so glad you all enjoyed it. And thank you so much for letting me share a little bit of my passion with you.
Well, we're stuck with each other. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. We've got a minute or two left, and we've already mentioned that the festival's in March. Give us some more information about the festival.
Well, it's shaping up to be quite an extravaganza this year. It's March 21 through 24 in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Would love to meet any of you there. Please stop by and say hello. And the VIPs who are coming this year that I know about at this moment, it's a little early yet, are Matthew Modine, who was, of course, in Full Metal Jacket. And then Armand Asante is coming. Bridget Moynihan from Blue Bloods is coming. That's all I can think of off the top of my head that I know about at this moment. But it'll be fun. And there, you have complete access to everyone. We don't segregate. You know, you can talk to them. They can talk to you. It's a wonderful, fun event. And I hope you come out.
You mean it's actually a place to go and learn some things and have fun and interact with other people?
Yeah. And isn't that precious to us now after COVID?
Yes. And boy, is that consistent with finding things you can talk about and not have to, and learn other people's perspective on things.
Right.
It's what America's about.
Isn't that the truth, my friend?
It is indeed. Diane, thank you. Thank you for another great film and for being such a great member of the Frontline of Freedom team. I'm so glad we worked together.
Me too, Denny. Thank you and your listeners very much. It's an honor and a privilege.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease. Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. I do a bit of coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to us at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Sarah, what's the first comment?
Air Force vet Phil has been following the huge amount of people coming into our country via the southern border, and he just can't believe our government won't do anything to stop it.
Phil, I can relate to your feelings, and I too am aghast at what's happening to our country. This is nothing short of an all-out invasion. Keep talking about it and express your opinion to those in power.
Henry is best friends with an Army vet, and he loves a self-defense report at the end of each show. It helps him better prepare to protect his family.
Thanks, Henry. We appreciate that. Continue to listen and train and learn, because I fear that things are going to get worse here before they get better. Now it's time for military history. What's first, Sarah?
On the 27th of February, 1776, during the Revolutionary War in the early morning hours, Commander Richard Caswell led 1,000 Patriot troops in the successful Battle of Moore's Creek, over 1,600 British loyalists. It would go down in history as the first American victory and the first organized campaign of the Revolutionary War. Responding to North Carolina Royal Governor Josiah Martin, British Colonel Donald MacLeod began marching 1,600 loyalists from Cross Creek, North Carolina, towards the coast, where they were supposed to rendezvous with other loyalists and redcoats at Brunswick, North Carolina. When Commander Caswell and the Patriots arrived at Moore's Creek Bridge ahead of the British loyalists, Caswell positioned his troops in the woods on either side of the bridge, awaiting the British with cannons and muskets at the ready. The British learned of the Patriot troops at Moore's Creek in advance, but, expecting only a small force, decided to advance across the bridge to attack. The British loyalists shouted, "King George and the broadswords!" as they advanced across the bridge. They were swiftly cut down by a barrage of Patriot musket and cannon fire. The British loyalists quickly surrendered, giving the Patriots their first victory in the Revolutionary War. The victory aborted British plans to land a force at Brunswick, North Carolina, and ended British authority in the state. Within 2 months, on the 12th of April, 1776, North Carolina became the first state to vote in favor of independence from Britain.
On 1 March 1912, Captain Albert Berry made the first parachute jump from an airplane at Jefferson Barracks, Missouri. Captain Berry had a 36-foot parachute packed into a metal case beneath the fuselage. The parachute had a trapeze bar for him to hold onto as he jumped and descended to the ground.
On the 3rd of March, 1931, President Herbert Hoover signed a congressional act making the Star-Spangled Banner our nation's official national anthem.
On 24 February, 1836, in San Antonio, Texas, Colonel William Travis fought the Battle of the Alamo, an old Spanish mission and fortress under attack by the Mexican Army. An Alabama native, Travis moved to the Mexican state of Texas in 1831. He became a leader of the movement to establish an independent Texas Republic. On February 23, a large Mexican force under General Santa Anna arrived. Travis and his troops took shelter in the Alamo, where they were joined by volunteers led by Colonel James Bowie. Santa Anna's 5,000 troops heavily outnumbered the several hundred Texans. Travis and his men determined not to give up. Santa Anna ordered his forces to launch a siege. Following the siege, on March 6, Mexican forces stormed and took the Alamo. The Texan troops lost, but killed at least 600 of the enemy. This brave defense became a powerful symbol for the Texas Revolution. At the crucial Battle of San Jacinto, on April 21, 910 Texan soldiers commanded by Sam Houston defeated Santa Anna's army, spurred on by cries of, "Remember the Alamo!" The next day, after Texans captured Santa Anna himself, the general ordered all Mexican troops to pull back behind the Rio Grande River. On 14 May, 1836, Texas officially became an independent republic.
On the 1st of March, 1942, during World War II, U-656 became the first German submarine to be sunk by naval air. The attack was carried out by Ensign William Tipuni, piloting a Hudson bomber with Patrol Squadron 82. 2 weeks later, VP-82 pilot Donald Mason sank U-503 southeast of the Virgin Rock.
On 1 March 1954, the U.S. performed an atmospheric nuclear test at Bikini Island. The Japanese ship No. 5 was trolling for tuna off the Bikini Atoll in the Pacific. 11 crew members died in the half-century since the exposure, at least 6 of them from liver cancer. Between 1946 and 1958, the U.S. conducted 66 nuclear tests at Bikini as part of Operation Crossroads. In 1955, the U.S. gave Japan $2 million in compensation.
Also, on the 1st of March, 1954, baseball great Ted Williams fractured his collarbone in the first game of spring training after flying 39 combat missions without injury in the Korean War.
On 28 February, 1991, during the first Gulf War, Allied and Iraqi forces suspended their attacks as Iraq pledged to accept all United Nations resolutions concerning Kuwait. Tariq Aziz announced Iraq's acceptance of all relevant UN Security Council resolutions. Saddam Hussein called on his troops to cease fire. The ground war lasted 100 hours. Of course, Saddam lied and followed few of the conditions for his surrender.
On the 28th of February, 1994, in the first military action in the 45-year history of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, U.S. fighter planes shot down 4 Serbian warplanes engaged in a bombing mission in violation of Bosnia's no-fly zone. Later, on the 20th of December, 1995, NATO began the mass deployment of 60,000 troops to enforce the Dayton Peace Accords signed in Paris by the leaders of the former Yugoslavia on December 14. the NATO troops took over from a UN peacekeeping force that had failed to end the fighting since its deployment in early 1992. Although the UN troops had proved crucial in the distribution of humanitarian aid to the impoverished population of Bosnia, the NATO force, with its U.S. support and focused aim of enforcing the Dayton Agreement, proved more successful in maintaining the peace in the war-torn region.
And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Sarah.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love.
So what's the story this week, Sarah?
Three officers responded around 9:10 a.m. to a domestic disturbance call, and two approached the front door. As soon as they got on the porch, Tyquell Woodson, age 33, charged out with a large knife. One officer fell down the steps and into the snow on the front lawn. Woodson pounced, stabbing the fallen officer multiple times in the right arm before attempting to stab him in the chest. The second officer attempted to use his taser. When that failed, the third officer opened fire. The whole fight lasted about 5 seconds. The officer had additional injuries to his face, both hands, and both arms, and needed a tourniquet at the scene to stop the bleeding. Officers and paramedics attempted life-saving measures on Woodson, who was pronounced dead at the hospital.
Thanks, Sarah. One of the things rookie police officers learn very quickly is that a domestic disturbance call can be one of the most dangerous calls they ever respond to. Because it's domestic, it's also very passionate, and when drugs or alcohol are involved, as in this case, then it gets even worse. I'm no police officer, but I question the use of the taser while a man is on top of your partner attempting to stab him to death. But I won't second-guess the officer too much. Right now in America, police are under more political scrutiny than they've ever been before, and on the whole, are hesitant to use any type of deadly force for fear that their department or the politicians overseeing them will not back up their actions. These days, if a police officer makes even the smallest mistake, it could be a career-ending or even a life-ending mistake. So I understand the hesitation. In my opinion, the lives and careers of some police officers are being ended because they aren't being properly supported by their leaders and their communities. But for you, the ordinary citizen, who isn't trying to take a criminal into custody, it's different. Your role is unlike that of the police. Your job is to survive the attack. You don't have to handcuff him and take the man to jail. In a case like this, at close distance, when a man is trying to kill you, you have no choice but to rapid fire the center of exposed mass until the threat stops. Don't hesitate or you could die. As soon as you see the knife and realize it's being directed toward you, you need to act, especially at close range. Hesitation at this point could mean ending your own life or serious bodily injury. Fortunately, this officer's life was saved by his ballistic body armor and the quick thinking of the third officer. Frontlines of Freedom wants to thank these officers for their quick response, and we pray that the fallen officer recovers quickly and gets back on the job. As always, Frontlines of Freedom backs the blue. Our movie of the month is Alternative Math. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to us at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Dr. William Makis will discuss the serious danger we're experiencing from the experimental COVID shots. Then veteran Jeff Gray will discuss being arrested for peaceful protesting. And attorney Aaron Johnson will talk about our Second Amendment. And Christine Myron will present Blue Star Service Dogs. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of the show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel.
And I'm Sarah Coriel.
Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the Foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud, Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.